What's up, everybody? Appreciate you checking out Urban Legends Podcast, where we interview living legends and people making legendary moves. But yo, I just got on Patreon. That's right, Justin Hyers is officially on Patreon. Man, I'm showing y'all everything. Exclusive content, behind the scenes footage of the podcast, behind the scenes footage of me at the music studio, behind the scenes footage of me and my friends and my family life. It's crazy. This is exclusive footage and content you're not going to find on any other site. It's only available on Patreon. Uncensored, unfiltered, pure comedy gold. Patreon, Justin Hyers. Now, check out the latest episode of Urban Legends Podcast.
This is my
assistant Lee. We go way back.
What's going on, my man?
He's not gonna actually be on the actual podcast section of the interview, but I just want y'all to see each other and meet each other.
What up, brother?
What's going on, fam?
Hey, you know, I'm chilling, man.
That's what's up. That's what how you been occupying yourself in all this corona.
But wait a minute. Don't you ask questions, nigga. Get on off of here. this nigga.
Oh, tell me about the pandemic.
Out of his house. Introduce you, bro. Just chopping it up. Shit, go ahead. I'm using myself. Right now.
He taking over already.
Tell me about...
Hey, why was that my first question, though? I'm like, if you don't get your ass off this.
Oh, damn it.
Thank you, Lee.
You'll have another assistant next week.
Hey, man. You have any Zoom calls? I've been Zoomed every day, nigga. Zoomed.
Just Zoomed out.
Zoomed out. Oh, that's Zoom. Nigga, Zoomed.
Hey man, I miss you. You in California right now, right?
Yeah, Cali. Oh, that's right. You ATL.
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta.
Are y'all back already?
No, we're not. I just I got some property up here, and this family had just moved out, and so okay. I had to come up here to check on the property to make sure.
Okay, hit us with that.
And fuck my shit up. You know what I'm saying?
I was okay, like, I got this property. I don't know what y'all niggas is doing up here.
Hey, man. Hey, it was the subtle flex. I got the property.
I got the property. You know what I'm saying? I got white folk working for me. I got this.
There was a white family staying here.
There was a white family paying me. So, you know.
Hey, the funny thing is that it's confusing to them if it's a black person or a white person that own it, because I got pictures of Leonardo DiCaprio, but
that's
then I also
hilarious.
Got pictures of Tupac. So they're like,
this isn't the way he talks. How are the emails? Is there anything that's indicating black?
Well, the Tupac and Biggie pictures, I think, do it in the Coming to America. But but I also got Star Wars pictures. I got Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
So they don't know. Because you could be, you don't know. Because Tupac and Biggie transcend, you know, white, Latin, Latinx.
And that's why I did it. That's why I did it.
We don't know.
I'm gonna tell you what really threw them off though is I got the Pink Floyd poster and a Dirty Dancing poster. They don't know what the hell going on.
They was like, Dirty Dancing? Pink Floyd? Maybe he mixed. I don't know. Right. He's mixed.
But what may give me away is I also got a Love Jones. That might give me away, the Love Jones. Okay. It's too specific.
Right. The Love Jones. So they're like,
you know they never heard of it.
I know that. Wait a minute. Is that
Omar Gooding?
Omar Gooding, right?
Oh no? My God. I've heard of him. Hey, bro. First of all, I want to give a shout out. I want to thank you, Alfonso. Anyone don't know, Alfonso McCulley, one of the most talented, funniest comedic actors in the game. I started this platform, Urban Legends, to have conversations with people I consider our living legends and people who are, I consider are making legendary moves out here in these streets, brother. And I mean that. if y'all don't know, he's on, he was on the middle just ended, right? On ABC.
The middle ended, we ended in 2019. And then I jumped over to School.
Which is like a spinoff
to the Goldbergs.
He working. He got more.
You know, I'm just out here, man, trying to make sure I can put, you know, some avocado on my sandwiches. You know, man. Just a little extra. I just need a little extra.
You got money. You got COVID savings. You know, he wasn't tripping by COVID. He said, I got schooled money. I'm not
COVID
worried
about cash. You got COVID cash?
Got that COVID cash. The middle on ABC, Schooled on ABC, Love That Girl, the movie Pride with Bernie Mac and Terrence Howard.
Hey. Rest in peace, Bernie Mac.
I'm gonna ask you about that. First of all, yeah. I'm gonna let you know that's the first time I ever saw you was in the movie Pride. I don't know if you know this.
Really?
I was going to college at Clark Atlanta University. Shout out. Wait a minute.
Hey, okay.
Yeah, for CAU.
Yep, just get it in.
Boop. I just disappointed everyone at Clark.
Come on, man. What are you talking?
Boop. They're like, nigga, your matriculation at Clark. Hey, that was the big word they taught us when we got to Clark. It was matriculation.
Matriculation.
Like, when you matriculate at CAU. They taught us matriculation in the
first week, the rush week, y'all get matriculation. You're like, okay. Orientation and matriculation. Gonna be on the syllabus.
So I was going to college at Clark Atlanta University, and they had a special screening for Pride, and it was actually on Morehouse campus. So I went, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, it's a black film. I wanted to get into acting and all that stuff, so I definitely went. And I'm watching the movie Pride, and I said, hey, man, this skinny dude, I said, this nigga funny. Who is he? I'm like, who is the skinny dude? I said, because he's actually funny, because that's when I was just starting to get up on stage a little bit. And yeah. I was like, I pride myself on being able to spot talent. You know what I'm saying? Spot who I feel like are like genuinely funny people. Yeah. So I was like, hey, yo, this dude is funny. So that's actually the first time that I ever like became aware of you. You know,
and so
then we got to LA, and I think I met you out in LA, and I was like, I think that's dude, you know, and then I'm sure I looked you up one day. I was like, yeah, that's the dude. That's the dude.
I'm trying to think what venue did we actually meet at? Cause you know how it is with comedy clubs and everything. Like,
I don't know, bro. I'm sure it was some comedy club. It was probably the high comedy store.
Was it Amsterdam? Was it because we remember we was doing a lot of open mics as well.
It might have been Amsterdam. Anybody don't know, Amsterdam was
a Amsterdam
open mic venue in North Hollywood, man. All the comedians used to pull up there.
Yeah.
Work out our new material. And man, that's when I realized how funny you were off the top of the dome too, though. Because
appreciate you, man.
Alfonso would go up there and just riff, and I mean destroy. And I'm like, you know, because I consider myself pretty funny when it comes to stand up, and I'm like, yo, this dude is destroying. And you're like, man. Oh, man, I'm just working some stuff out. And I'm like, this dude, I'm like, did you write it down? And you're like, well, I just come up with new stuff every time.
Man, that was it, yo. I mean.
So that being said, though, but let's go back to Pride, though. How did you even get Pride? What was the steps and what you went through to get that part?
So Pride was that basic, you know, routine audition type thing where at the time my agent, you know, they hit me. I just got a fresh new agent at the time, right? And my fault.
Get that new agent
in the back. I got the fresh new agent, right? And my second audition was for Pride. It was actually called PDR at the time. And so they sent me the script. I read it. I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, this whole first black swim team thing. So went in, you know, went to the first audition, read, and I didn't know how it was going to go, but I just, you know, had some fun, you know, improv a little bit, because that's, you know, they always want to see you bring the words, you know, to life, basically. They want to see that. So, of course, I go in, did my thing, and so then they hit me back again. You know, I'm like, all right. So went back, did the same thing, boom. Then they're like, yo, you going down to Lionsgate, because they, okay, you know, director and everybody want to see you. They, it's Lionsgate, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
Lionsgate, okay, time.
Lionsgate time. So I was like, okay, all right, okay, and all right. So so I go down to Lionsgate and met the director, cat named Sunu. He's an African dude, South African dude. So
I want you to audition for.
Exactly. He was like, yo, he was like, okay, this is how I want you to read the lines. And I was like, all right, don't be crazy. Just do your thing and let's see what you do. And I tell your brother. And I was like, all right, cool. So go in there, knock it out. And they was like, okay, thank you. You know, and everybody looked around, like, okay,
all right. Everyone did the head look.
Everybody, okay, do we have anything else we got for the nigga? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, so left out. Then they was like, they hit me and he was like, yo, they want you to do a swim test. I'm like, a swim test?
Okay.
Like, because, you know, they like, well, you know, black folks swimming. We got to make sure y'all can swim.
Hey, they was doing a movie about black swimmers and it was still racist.
Right? They was like, you know, we want to make sure, you know, Lionsgate. We want to make sure, you know. So anyway.
We've heard you all.
We've heard. We don't know the door, you know. And I'm like, nigga, swim, that's, you know, I've been doing that since I was a kid, right? So I go down to the swim test, man. Everybody down there. I mean, every young black dude in Hollywood at the time was in there, in the pool. Even niggas that couldn't swim was like, nigga, I got to get this role. Okay, I'm going to get in there and doggy battle. Right. It was nigga doing a doggy battle, you know what I'm saying?
I can do it.
I can do this.
Niggas about to, like, drown for a role.
No, there was one dude got in there almost drowned. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna name names. The nigga almost drank.
Oh, so he a name. He a name person.
They was like, okay, wait, hold on now.
a young Michael B. Jordan, just.
and a young man. So, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't see Mike. Mike might have been later on, maybe came in. I don't know. I didn't see Mike. But yeah, it was cats in there, man. It was crazy. So we went in there. We had to do our laps, boom, back and forth. You know what I'm saying? They just wanted to see how we looked. Like, they knew we weren't competitive swimmers, but they just wanted to see how our form looked, whatever. So we knocked it all out, and then they just hit me and was like, yo, you booked. I was like, oh, word. It was my third picture, my third film, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo.
People don't know. You was hit getting them back to back to back, though.
Back to back. Back to back. Back to back.
You were back to back before Drake. Before Drake was back to back.
I was back to back, and it was crazy because I was doing more film and commercials at the time, and then I started doing TV. And once you start doing TV, it's like you kind of get caught in this routine. And so I didn't do as many, you know what I'm saying, as I was doing before I was doing commercials and just film. But of course, in between, I get a film here and there, you know what I'm saying? Like just recently, just, you know, was shooting a film in between while we had a hiatus on school. But yeah, man, so it was dope. Like, got there and then they didn't tell us who was actually going to be the coach, because they was like, oh, we're deciding, like, you know, who's going to be the dude or whatever. Okay. So they was throwing around names. And then all of a sudden they was like, okay, it's going to be Terrence Howard. We was like, Nick. Nigga, Terrence, okay.
He was like, oh, this is a real movie now.
I was like, okay, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, we about to, nigga. And so,
what was your first meeting like, Terrence?
The first meeting, vividly, was we was in the pool. We was down, we was in New Orleans. We down in the pool, right? And I forgot what campus. We was on some campus. Was it Tulane? One of these campuses we was on, just like practicing. We was going, listen, we didn't even feel like we were shooting a movie because we had to rehearse. Like, we had to swim and do all these swim training, like practices, whatever. like probably 2 months in advance before we actually started like principal photography, you know, like day one of shooting, basically, for anybody not in the industry. But so we're down there, we going back and forth. I mean, we are practicing like we on an actual swim team, right? And so the coach, she was like, all right, so everybody out the pool, we get out the pool. And it was like, all right, so it looks like, you know, they have your actual coach who's going to be in the movie. He's here. So we was like, oh, nigga, Terrence is here, nigga? He was like, oh, Terrence is here, nigga? So you know, we looking around nervous, just. And I'm always, because I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of legends, man. So it's like when you, each initial legend that you about to meet, you always like, oh, nigga, it's a legend, because you just want to, you know. So anyway, so he get out the little van, whatever. He had on the little Kangol type hat, you know what I'm saying, with a loose satchel. And he walked up dangling.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like, he just walked up, you know, that cool.
He sat shade on y'all.
Yeah, he sat shade on us. We was like, yo, that's Terrence. Oh my gosh, this nigga. He was just dead serious. He was like, listen. From now on, I'm your coach. That was it. We was like,
wait a minute, do that one more time.
He was like, listen. From now on, I'm your coach. And we was like, nigga, that. And he was dead serious. And then that was like, that was it. So then,
you know. He was a character the whole movie.
He was it. Listen, the character, the whole film. Like, but the thing is that he would laugh. Like, this is how dope Terrence is, though. Like, when I tell you skills, this nigga will be in between the take, right? Might be laughing, joking, whatever. He laughing, ha, they like, actually, he'll turn around and start crying. Straight tears. Listen, we've been chasing dreams now for years. I'm like, nigga, how in the world, on action, full tears, wow, water eyes. Every like he could just he
well, you know on, you know his voice is already mid tier.
It's mid tremble already. The voice is already prepped.
The voice is prepped.
Listen, man, y'all been out here swimming, man, and so already eyes bow watery. So you look at his eyes, you start getting watery because you like. Oh my God, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I would be looking in his eyes saying, this nigga's a better actor than me, man.
I mean, that's the thing. Everybody, like, we all knew, like, yo, he a better actor. I mean, we was just learning. And he would sit there and just tell us stuff, like, in between takes. Like, I mean, just jewels of wisdom. He'd come and be like,
listen, Alfonso, don't let anybody steal this movie from you. Ooh. You steal it from me.
Oh.
You're like, what? Like, yeah.
That's big of him to do that, bro, because yeah. I've been on a movie set where the main dude, he didn't want me to shine. You see what I'm saying?
He wanted to
jump. He like, no, I'm the star. I'm the only one going to get the jokes off, you know. And you set me up so I can knock it out the park. And
when you have that type of attitude, it's like you can kind of tell that energy on set. But Terrence was different, man. Like, when I tell you, he shared the wealth, you know what I'm saying? And, like, and he would, I remember one time he was like, don't look away from your co-star. Like, if y'all in a scene and y'all are right on, like, soon as you look, you break the energy. You've lost, you know what I'm saying, that intensity. And I was like, yo, it was like little stuff like that where, you know, because, I mean, you're doing a drama, and it's like, and of course, at the time, it's like, you know, we was just fresh in the game. Everybody who was on set, we was all fresh in the game.
Right.
And we were just like, damn, like, okay, you know, we're learning. You got to soak it in. You got to take every moment and just learn from it, you know? So it was dope, man. Like, the experience was great.
Is it true he walks around with a banjo everywhere or a guitar?
He had a guitar. Yeah, he had one in his trailer. You know what I'm saying? He had a guitar. You know what I'm saying? Had a little something in the trailer, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story. I was talking to another actor, and he said, bruh, I was up for a movie, He said I was up for he said I the actor he said I was up for the movie Get Rich or Die Trying.
Okay.
That's 50 Cent movie, right?
Remember he told us about this. He told us about it. Yeah.
So the actor that I was talking to, I'm gonna have an actor on here one of these days. But the actor that told me, he said, so I'm auditioning for Get Rich or Die Trying. He said, all of a sudden, Terrence Howard walks in with a guitar. He said, as soon as he walked in with that guitar, he said, I knew I lost the role. And I'm thinking, why the fuck does he have a guitar for auditioning for Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yeah.
But he went in. He said, I heard him go in there. He started strumming that guitar. He said, it's over.
It's over. It's over. Yo, he told us about the shower scene. He said the director was like, yo, we're going to do the shower scene and, you know, we're going to, you know, kind of shoot above the waist or whatever. You know, so Terrence said, listen.
I want to shoot this scene organically.
And it was like, organically?
Organically.
They was like, oh, okay,
just shoot it wide.
Oh.
We'll take the towels off.
Nigga. Oh.
So he was confident. Shout out to him because, you know, I'm going to be honest. The first time I saw Get Rich or Die Trying and I saw the shower scene, I was like, where's this nigga dick at? I don't see it.
Yo, you stupid.
Said, where is it? I'm like, I can't. It was tucked in the shrubbery.
You was looking. What are you looking for?
I said, oh, that must be the light skinness.
I was looking.
That's his dick was like, pig. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, why was I looking? But Nick, it's a shower. It's out.
Yeah, it's out.
It's out.
It was a shower scene. And yeah, he said they just rolled. He said the directors rolling. They rolled and, nigga, they went.
See, I would have quit that day because I know me. See, I'm a grower. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a grower.
Now,
I'm not grown right now for this scene. You know what I mean? So
you better get some strippers in here before we film this scene. Hey, so what was it like working with Bernie Mac, bro?
Now, Bernie, I mean, that was like the day they hit us, because like Bernie wasn't confirmed just yet. You know, we had Terrence. And it's like when you're getting, you know, A-list stars like that, they schedule be crazy. So you gotta, you know, they're juggling around trying to figure out who they can get. So news came back, they like, yo, so the comedian they got for the film, Bernie Mac, we was like, oh, Nick. So we was tripping, yo. So of course, now my star nervousness, if you will, went to a whole nother level. And you know, you don't get shook. Like, for me, I don't get shook by stars. It's more of like when you're on the playing field with them, you want to make sure you shine just as much, you know, so you don't let them down. So because they, you know, they're where they're at. You don't need to be looking like a weak link, if you will. So you like, oh, nigga, I gotta make sure I bring it, right?
And you want Bernie to be able to say, like, hey, you funny, you know?
Exactly. That's it. So Bernie got to the set. Nigga, I'm nervous. Because it's like, normally, like, my energy, you know how my energy is. It's like, it spreads out. And then people are like, yo, and they kind of feel that energy. So a lot of times it gets other people in that joyful mood to, like, you know, play around as well, right? So I already knew I had that on set already. But now Bernie getting there, I literally like kind of closed up. Like, I was like, nigga, this is Bernie. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Right? So Bernie got there, you know, he just looking, serious. And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, yo. So we start doing. We rehearsed this one scene. This is one scene where my character is talking to the girl in the film, right? And I'm like flirting with her. And so I walk up to her and I say something about Willie. I'm like, yo, something, whatever, whatever. And she look at me like, no, you know. And so I kept doing it, but it was real timid. Like it wasn't like
I wasn't like committed to it. I was doing it more like, okay, I know Bernie.
That's half the key, is the commitment.
It's the commitment. So Bernie, comedian can see that. So he saw like he being timid. So Bernie pulled me to the side, right? He goes, hey, listen, young buck. I was like, what up? He goes, look, you here on this set, right? You here for a reason. Show them why you here. Mm. And I was like, okay.
Straight up.
I'm like, dang, okay. So then go on the scene and I hit it, boom. Director was like, I love it. Oh my goodness, I love it. This is so amazing. Terrence was like, that was really good, Alfonso. That was good, man. That was good. And Bernie, Bernie was, he was like, that's what I'm talking about, you know? So then all of a sudden, like a couple days later, I'm on the set and I used to do this thing where like I would do like this this muscle man, because I'm super skinny, but I would do like this muscle man flex thing, right? Like just on set to like myself, I'd be doing it, right? So I'm in the corner doing that. And I think like one of the grips of somebody who's over there and they just laughing because they're like, yo, I didn't realize Bernie was way in the other side of the set watching me. Mm. He just watching me. He was like, man, this boy is funny. He told, you know, he told his assistant, his daughter, that was like, he is funny, right? So all of a sudden, they came up to me and he was like, yo, Bernie, yo, he been peeping you. And I looked over and he was just like. So then during lunch, I started talking to him. Bernie said, look, man, I'm going to tell you right now, you are funny as hell. And I'm like, nigga, so that was like the blessing of like, that was it. Cause I just knew, he was like, yo, and he said, you funny without trying to be like, you just funny. And that's all I need to hear. I was just like, yo, like, that's what's up. So like being around him, soaking all that in. I mean, of course I asked him about life. I was like, yo, how'd you come up with Jangalang?
Right.
You know, he was like, I'm gonna tell you, I didn't even have a name for the character like that. You know what I'm saying? Because I think it was a different name, but he kept playing with the suspenders. And they kept going, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. He was like, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-lang, ding-a-lang. Yeah, make a lot of noise right there. I was like, nigga! Because Jang-a-lang, he stole every scene that he was in with Jang-a-lang in life, he stole.
Oh, you know absolutely.
But it was like stuff like that. Like, I would just ask him like little, just things here and there. He would tell me about comedy. He was telling me about like, I remember he told me that, he said, there's a lot of casters that want the ideal of stand-up comedy, but they don't want the stand-up comedy. They don't want to be, they don't want people to look at them and laugh. They want to look cool. They want to be cool. He said, all these comedians who try to look cool and be cool. He was like, that's not what stand-up is. Stand-up has got to be, you know, just raw. You don't mind getting, you know, having people laughing at just what you're doing or whatever. Not to the point where they're like, oh, he ain't nothing, he's a clown or whatever, but it's to the point where they're like, yo, like this nigga's funny. He don't care how people see him as far as like not trying to be cool or whatever. He was like, you have to be a trailblazer. You just got to go and do. You can't worry about what other folks is thinking like, oh, he don't look cool enough to be, you know what I'm saying? Because you know how some comedians are, you know, they too cool. They just, they want to look cool.
You know, I ain't going to say his name, but this one comedian, he the coolest.
He's the coolest.
And it's like, but it's so weird because off stage, you try to be super cool. And then you get on stage and then you start. And then you throw, you're like, well, who are you? The best thing I heard Keenan Ivory Wayne say, he said, there's no vanity in comedy.
Yes.
You know, so you can't be worrying about, do I look stupid? Yo, be funny. You know, don't be worrying about all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing I personally learned from Bernie Mac, looking from afar, was I seen this documentary. And basically before he got on, the casting directors was like, oh, we can't understand what he's saying. He needs to enunciate more. Can he do that? Can he be a little less hood, basically? And then it got to a point, he got on, and then the casting people were like, can you be more like Bernie Mac? Can you talk the way Bernie talk?
Wow.
And what I learned from that is, man, you just got to do you. You can't try to do other stuff to try to conform, because they don't fucking know what they're talking about, you know? So it's better. That's what I learned from watching Bernie Mac. It's like, yo, do you, and do you at the highest level, and everybody will eventually come on board of what you're doing.
Yeah. And another thing, because he was always dropping, you know, always dropping the gems, yo. He was like, another thing, he was like, look, I stay out of it. If it ain't got my name on it, I stay out of that business. You know what I'm saying? I don't be in everybody's business. If I'm not involved in it, I'm out of it. And I was like, yo, I like that, because it was like the way he moved, you know, that's how he was. It's like solid 100 type dude. Like, I mean, to the point where, like, when we was down there, I mean, just looking at his genuine heart, like, he just had a heart for the cast, the crew, everybody. Like, it was just dope, man. Like, that cat, I learned so much. I mean, to the point where I became like a young apprentice for him at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, where, you know, he set me up with his manager, everything. He was like, man, get this boy, man. This boy's funny. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I was with him. That was my dude. Yeah, it was dope, man.
I'm glad I asked you about that.
Yeah, it was dope.
So, I didn't know you're from Connecticut. You were born in Connecticut?
New Haven.
New Haven.
Yeah, yeah.
And when did you move to L.A.? I always assumed you was just born in California. Oh,
no. No, it was born in New Haven. I stayed out there till, like, I want to say, it was like mid-80s. Because I stayed out there till, like, it was like mid to late 80s. Moved out because my parents actually, in New Haven at the time, it was so bad. Like. Mm.
It was bad in New Haven.
I know. People are always like, yo, is there black folks in New Haven?
Right.
But, okay, so you have, like, the demographics, like, you have Yale, but then all around Yale was the hood.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And we didn't even realize we was in the hood until later on. We was like, oh, that was the hood? Man. Right.
But, you moved to California and you saw palm trees?
We were just like, we thought we were just living, nigga. That was the hood? Like, So all around Yale was straight hood. And, like, you know, my parents were just like, yo, number one, it's too cold. It was super cold. Like, New Haven gets dumb cold, right? But then it was like, yo, the violence on it. Let's make a move. So my father had came out here, checked out Southern Cal, and it was like, yo, it's kind of dope out there. I found a nice black neighborhood we can move into. Nigga, we moved to Compton.
I'm about to say it's called Crenshaw. Crenshaw
it's
District.
Called Compton. Right. So we Compton, moved to right. Compton. It was act. So
I found a nice little place called Inglewood. I think you'll love it.
I think you'll love it.
Shout out to Inglewood. Shout out to Crenshaw District. Shout out to Compton. Don't come for my ass. I
don't
be an
awful. Don't come for me now. But let me tell you, late 80s was crazy. It was act. Like, it was crazy.
That's
like,
that's the beginning of the game.
The beginning of. It was.
So your daddy took y'all from New Haven to Compton during the gang wars.
Man, oh my God. Like, and it was wild because we was there for a second and then ended up moving out of there and was like, all right, you know, and then tried out different cities around Southern Cal. Went to Pomona, but Pomona had the Pyrus. Pyrus was heavy, you know what I'm saying? Pyrus, they was out there banging, you know what I'm saying? Anybody from Pomona, they know them quick, the quick and split and all of that, they know, nigga, the quick and split, nigga, it was crazy.
I know about that quick and split.
That quick and split, nigga. So, but yeah, man, so that's how it was, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't come out here for, like, acting or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. This is what I wanted to know, too. Did you ever take acting classes, or was it just something natural that and you just use your natural talent to start booking roles?
In high school, my senior year, my counselor got me into drama. She was like, why don't you try? And I'm like, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, drama didn't seem like for me, you know what I mean? And you know, I was just like, it was a lot, you know, because it was always like the drama nerds. It was like they had their own thing.
Right.
But I jumped in that. And,
wait a minute, this is how you know you're on a black podcast, because I'm stopping to put chapstick on. They would not be talking about me online.
I got it.
And I tell you what, I tell you something else, you kiss my ass if you got a problem with it. And I ain't cutting this out either. All right. I'm listening.
Let me get that lip service, okay? All done right quick. But that was pretty much it. Like, I jumped in that, and I actually stayed in it because it was the improv that made me stay. You know, it was like, we started doing improv, and I didn't know. I was like, wait, what? You could just make up a scene, just do whatever? And it was like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And then just started, and then boom. And that was it. Like, as soon as I started doing improv, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And that literally led into everything else. Like, just knowing, like, you could make up a scene and be funny. And I was like, all right, cool. So that was my last year in high school. And then when I got out, I was doing plays for my church that I was at,
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles. Shout out to West Angeles. So I was doing plays there, and that just kind of led into, you know what I'm saying? So I started doing, like, church plays. And my brother.
Wait a minute, if anyone don't know, they church plays are like Tyler Perry epic church.
They are epic. You know, Jesus is flying.
For real though. I went to y'all. What Lee doing? What you about to share?
Lee, what you about to? Lee said, "Let me share with Jesus flying." He said, "You got Jesus flying?"
I don't think we do.
I'm done. Never mind. My bad.
Wait a minute, because you never did put up a Pride poster. And that's my fault. I should have told you when we talk about a topic to throw it up, because I was waiting on the Pride poster.
I was trying to dig it out. I was like, sorry.
It's his first day.
You have a new assistant next week.
The first night. So hold on, let me, you good, Lee. Should we go back to Pride?
It's over.
Yeah, man, so that's how, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I started. And then, of course, like, in between, like getting into, like, when I did the plays, my brother was dating this girl at the time where she was an actress, and she was with an agent that she felt, she was like, yo, your brother, she was telling my brother, she was like, yo, I think your little brother is really funny. He should, you know, seek representation. And so she gave me the number to her agent, and I hit them up and, like, went to meet them, and the agent was like, cool. We'll take you. I was like, word.
What was the first, you remember the agency name?
Color Me Bright. It was
we also represent Negroes. Did you know this?
We represent Color Me Bright. It was a black agency though. It was an all black agency.
Okay.
And so that,
you know what? They probably made up their name during the In Living Color era. And that was like, okay, In Living Color, that's working.
Okay,
we gonna do cool. Color Me. What is it? Color Me Bright.
Color Me Bright.
You know,
yeah, because you know, at the time, Color Me Something was, you know, Color Me Bad.
Color Me Bad, right?
Whatever. So I guess they came up with it. Oh, Color Me Bright. You know,
I want y'all to know, Alfonso found the fountain of youth. This Negro is 133 years old.
133. I done seen everything.
He still plays a 16-year-old on TV. This Negro is incredible. Look at his hairline.
I still play a die.
He got too much hairline. Look at that. Too much hair. He got hairline coming down.
Shout out to that. So that was pretty much, you know what I'm saying, like how it
went. When did you get into stand-up?
Stand-up was around the same time I was doing these church plays. Like, it was right when I got that agent. Like, I, at the time, there was a dude that saw me in one of the church plays. His name was Jahi. I forget his last name. And so this brother, he was like Afrocentric, brother. Hey, brother, listen, brother. You know what I'm saying? You got all that talent. Why don't you go ahead and make use of that talent and put yourself on stage and do some stand-up comedy, bro? Mm. Make the folks laugh. I was like, all right. So,
Muslim and Christian.
I'm Muslim and Christian, both.
Little bit of this, little bit of that.
Half bean pot, half sweet potato pot. So, there you go.
So, I don't know if I set you up, you'll slam it.
You know what I'm saying? Just go with it. It's a pie chart, you know? But anyway, so So I get on stage, man, and like it was wild, yo, because they gave me a standing ovation. It was crazy.
The first time?
First time. I was like, yo, I still got that set too. It's crazy, yo. Like
I told you everybody, I'm telling y'all, the dude is a king at improv. You didn't. How much did you actually write down versus how much were you riffing?
I wrote down. I remember that because I was like, I had to write stuff down because I didn't know exactly how, you know, like what the wiggle room was for improv. You know, because I knew being on stage doing plays, like during the plays, I would riff a little bit because mm-hmm. remember I told you like that's how I got into acting was improv. So. That's what caught my eye. It wasn't the acting, it was like the improv. It's like, oh, I can make up something and make somebody laugh. So I knew when doing plays, I could riff here, riff there, people would be dying. They'd be like, yo, nigga, did you made that? Oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, it was whatever, right? So, but doing comedy, I was like, I don't know what the wiggle room's gonna be because it's just me with a mic. You know what I mean? It's just like when you're by yourself, it's kind of hard. With the improv I was used to, you had either a partner or you was in a scene together. So it's easy, like if you riff, you can either, you know how improv is, you give and take. So you could set somebody up to like, you know, just like you said earlier, set you up to slam dunk. You set somebody up to slam dunk or they could set you up to slam dunk.
Right.
But to set yourself up to slam dunk is different because it's like, right. That's you know what I mean? You alley-ooping yourself. So you got to, you know what I mean? That's stand-up.
Right.
So I wrote down.
Them niggas hit rim all day.
All day.
Try to dunk and
because they try to alley-oop themselves. Right. Like, I couldn't oop myself. Nigga.
Wait a minute. I thought that was
going to who did I oop? I ooped the nigga in the bleachers. I oop. I oop this nigga. So. So like with the stand up, like I said, I wrote most of that set and then I improv just a little bit.
Wow.
Like, not that much, like just a little bit, just enough to see like how it was. So then the next set I did for, it was this church event because I started off doing Christian comedy.
Right.
That's the thing. Okay. A lot of people don't know that. So like,
I kind of figured that, but I didn't. I wasn't sure for sure.
Yeah. I started off doing Christian comedy, and so, like, so that's the thing. Like, I was doing a lot of church events. You know what I'm saying? So the next set that I did for the church, it was like this banquet or something, and man, that set I have as well. Like, I improv that whole, like, pretty much that whole set. It was like I probably wrote down like 50% of the set, but then improv the rest. And it was because I could see like, oh, wait a minute, there's room to milk this joke or milk that joke and keep going. And it got to the point, that was the first time I had somebody stand up and they was coughing and yelling and, boy, you crazy! You know, I was like, oh, shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like that was a dope set, you know?
So but, yeah. This would always be wanting to know with you, what do you love stand up or you just do it sometimes? Cause I feel like you would do it, then you'll kind of go missing.
I know, man. Like, it's crazy because, like, with stand-up, man, like, I could tell, like, I have been dating stand-up for a long time. Right. I didn't get married to it. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Straight
like,
up.
I kept going, like, taking it out on dates. You want to go out? What about tonight? You free this weekend? Okay, come on then.
You mean Netflix and chilling with stand-up,
you know what I'm
man.
Saying? Quarantine and chill with that. Stand-up. Disney plus this. Plus this day. Like, what? With stand-up. So it was like, with stand-up, I was just like, I was dating it. And that was the thing, because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realized that in order to be like, if you want to be like a Dave Chappelle or somebody, you have to be married to it.
Straight up.
You can't just date that joint. You right. date it.
You gotta make love to it.
You gotta make love to it. You know what I'm saying? Which I love it, you know? But
enough to marry it.
I mean, I think, you know, and it's like this. Like, I think at some point, it's calling me, so I have to get married to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
Because this, here's my personal thing for you. You are an exceptional comedian. And it's one of those things where it's just like you said with LaChapelle, if you actually did it consistently for a certain amount of time, you would or will be one of them dudes. You see what I'm saying? Straight up. And I won't, I don't say that about a lot of people. You know what I'm saying?
No, man, I appreciate it.
But I mean that because I've seen you on nights where you've destroyed. And I want anybody that do stand-up, there's a difference between having a good set, a great set, killing, and destroying. You see what I'm saying? But when you find people that can destroy, when you've seen them nights where something just clicked and everything is hitting, you like, oh, there's something special about about that person. There's a certain type of talent. And then you don't see it. They don't do it every night.
Yeah, but when
You know, but if you see them do it one time, you like, oh, there's something to that person.
Yeah.
You know? That being said, what made you get to Vine and Instagram? How did that come about? Because I don't know if y'all know this. He was one of the first people that really popped on Vine. And Alfonso, I used to always say he had my favorite vines ever, the most creative, seriously, the most creative vines, the funniest vines. He was my favorite person during that Vine era. So how did you start to become aware of Vine and start doing that?
So Vine was a thing where the first Vine I saw was, what's Dante's last name? Comedian Dante.
Was it the Dante used to hang with Sydney?
Yes.
Okay.
So Dante was one of them dudes. He just really, really funny. But his Vine account, he actually had the first Vine that I saw.
Wow.
Like I was on Twitter, and I'm scrolling through, and I saw, you know, it was like a quick video, and Dante posted it. I was like, huh. And it said Vine in the corner. It was like, they had like the little squiggly. It was like the first, you know, whatever. And I'm looking, I was like, yo, that's crazy. I was like, yo, that little short video, but it was funny. It was like something like him and his uncle or something like that. And, you know, and I saw, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I started hearing about Vine, right? And so at the time I was doing Love That Girl, we were shooting like, oh my gosh, we were shooting probably 3 episodes a day.
Wow, Bentley Evans. He had y'all on that Tyler Perry schedule.
We were shooting, it was like.
Look at that. Okay, Lee.
Okay, Lee said, let me get the.
Lee said, I ain't losing my job today, goddamn it.
I ain't losing my, I got posters, okay? So basically, we were shooting Love That Girl.
That's good, and Lee.
I know, right? So Paige Kennedy.
Shout out to, I had Paige on here.
Okay, so Paige, my man Paige, he hit me. He was like, yo, Fonz. He was like, yo, you need to get on Vine. I'm like, I keep hearing about Vine. What's Vine? He's like, nigga, you need to get on it, nigga. Like, I'm on there, nigga, getting followers. I'm like, okay, I mean.
I just wanna let it be clear that he did not give me that same courtesy phone call. I just wanna let that be clear right now. All right, I'm listening.
It hit you with the Vine joint?
No.
That's hilarious.
I'll tell you my Vine story after you.
Okay. All right. So he was like, yo, you need to get on Vine. I'm like, all right. So I was like, check it out. So I'm looking at it. And like I said, so we back and forth shooting Love That Girl, whatever. And I'm like, I just got on Twitter. I think Instagram was just starting to pop off. This was around like early 2013. Mm-hmm. Early 2013. So, long story short, Paige comes to the set. He brought Batch with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yo, this my boy, this Batch.
Oh, so he introduced y'all.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, you the cat. Everybody keep telling me about, you know what I'm saying? So, because, you know, there was some people knew I did a Denzel impersonation. But it was like, yo, you got to see this other cat do his Denzel.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So.
He talking about King Batch, anybody that wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yes, King Batch. So Batch coming to the set. He was like, yo, what up, what up? So we talking. He was like, yo, let's shoot some vines. I was like, all right, well, you know, let's shoot some then. So I jumped on Vine, shot a few joints with Batch, and that was pretty much, you know, how that kind of started. Now, what drove me to actually get on Vine and create Vines was Lil Duval.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Duval. This nigga, yo, his Vines had me in tears. When I tell you this nigga had me in tears, yo.
Oh, I missed it. I missed that.
And Duval's Vines was so funny. This nigga, man, oh my God. He had this one joint where he would dance with this mask on and do this dance, nigga. Yo, every time, like, I would be crying. Yo, the joint was so funny.
Wow. Bro,
hilarious.
I know it had to be funny for you to be crying, because you like me, we laugh a lot, but it still take a lot to make us laugh.
Exactly. Because right. You know, see, you know, you're hilarious. So you know, for somebody to make you laugh, that's big.
Straight up.
And then for you to say, you know, things of like, oh, I think this nigga funny, like, that's even bigger.
Straight up.
Because that's like, that takes a lot. Like I said, you already a funny dude. You already know, like, nigga, comedy is comedy. You making right. me laugh, nigga. So Duval, I was hurting, yo. I was laughing so hard. I was like, this nigga is comedy. So I was like, yo, if he can make me laugh in 6 seconds, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, that's talent.
Right.
And so I started thinking, I'm like, bro, that's the challenge. Make a nigga laugh in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. So I jumped on, started shooting Vines, and you know, and so I didn't want to make it like, I don't want to make my Vines like I would see people do like these cliche Vines and whatever. But I was like, let me try to have just a creative approach, you know, beginning, middle, end, you know what I mean? And a lot of joints, man. It was crazy because a lot of stuff I was doing on there, I started using Vine as like character work. So I started doing characters on there, which, you know, some characters got stolen, you know.
Oh, no.
We don't talk about that. You know, some characters, you know, they took off and other people won with them. But, you know, we're not going to talk about
that. Were they like people you was cool with that took them?
No, it was cats that, like, I knew they was watching. You know, you have a lot of people out there that, like, you got your followers, you got your fans, you got your followers, because those are two different things.
I just heard that quote. I mean, literally last week, and it's so true, bro. You got your fans and you got your followers.
Yeah.
Your followers are just looking.
They two different things. You know, a follower will unfollow you for the most futile thing. They'll be like, oh, he got a green shirt on. I'm following it. You know, whatever. A fan is going to stick with you. A fan is like, yo, I'm a fan. I'm with you. That's the difference. You know what I'm saying? You have those people that are actually checking for you. And then you got the people that just, they're like, oh, I like this dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to follow him. You know what I mean? But anyways, so these are cats that you have, your fans, your followers, and then you got your cats that just on the hidden, you know, the hidden follow. They watching you. They got the binocular. Like, what this nigga doing? What they doing? Yeah, you got those.
Right.
what they doing? Okay, let me see what they're doing.
I like that.
You know what? Right. I'm going to go on and take that. So you got a lot of cats that got out here and start taking that. And then, boom. So that's how that went. But, you know, like I said, and then there were things that inspired people to do, you know, other joints, which was cool because people would hit me and be like, man, your Vines, man, how'd you come up with this? How'd you come up with that? And I'm like, man, I got a story literally for every Vine. Like, you ask me where a character comes from or a Vine comes from, and that's where you know cats be stealing, like, because they ain't got the origin behind it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You ask me where a character come from, I'm like, yo, I could tell you exactly where it came from. You know what I'm saying? Because it was a part of my life. Like, for example, people ask me, it was like, yo, when you get the advanced backward skater dude?
Oh, yeah.
And I think you was there the night it was Brandon Phillips opened up. Oh, I got to hit Brandon. He probably watching. I got to hit you, Brandon.
Brandon Phillips probably is watching. Like, he never did hit me back.
He never did. The nigga never did. Oh, man.
You caressing his quarantine beard? This nigga never did.
Never did.
never did.
I just talked to Brandon yesterday.
Okay, I'm gonna hit you, Brandon. So, yesterday he said the nigga never did. He never did.
We were just talking about you.
We were just talking about you yesterday. He never did. what was I saying?
Brandon Phillips, backwards skating.
Brandon opened up the show. We used to do the show, me and Atheon. We would do this, what was it, LOL Wednesdays.
Right, so shout Brandon out to Atheon Crockett.
Shout out to my dude, Ave, which just recently had a birthday. Shout out, Atheon.
Oh, shout out to Ave. I need a high. I got to hit him up.
You know, hit Ave up. You know what I'm saying?
I hit Ave, you hit B. You hit B, I hit Ave.
Ave and B. All right, so anyways, but it was this R&B skate night that I went to, and the dude that was there was this DJ, had a deep voice, but he was hilarious. He was a deacon at the church, but he was a DJ for the R&B, like old school nights.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody that was there, yo, it was so funny. It'd be Sunday nights. And so I went randomly. At the time, it was just like, I went up there to go skate or whatever. And they was like, oh no, tonight's an old school R&B night. You know, it's gonna be a lot of older people in there. I'm like, damn. And so at the time, this girl I was with, she was like, well, you know, let's just go. I was like, all right, you know. So I went, we go in, and I was crying. All the old school players in there, hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing? Looking, okay. And they was like, just touch. I was like, yo, that's it. I was like, this is hilarious. And that's how, like, but each character has that. You got to have those origin stories to get that. You know what I mean? So
I'm going to tell you, Batch was actually the person. I said this on Pages, Urban Legends episode, but Batch is actually the person that told me about it. But he waited to tell me till he hit 4 million followers on Vine.
Hilarious.
It's like,
oh yeah, because I remember when you got started. I was like, Jay, you about to get started?
There you go. There go Batch.
Hilarious.
There go you and Batch. Yeah. So that's exactly right. And that's how I started, because I had some success on YouTube. And then, you know, I had some stuff go viral and Worldstar used to pick it up and put it on their page. And so, but I didn't want to be known. I felt like I wasn't growing as a stand-up comedian and I wasn't booking roles.
Let me
just focus on acting and stand-up. And that's why, and at the time, YouTube was still a little premature. The whole online, there was a whole thing about online comedians versus stand-up comedians. And I was like, well, I'm more of a stand-up comedian. I'm like, I want to be known as a stand-up comedian. So that's why I kind of fell back from the online stuff. So then Batch told me one day, he was like, man, I'm on Vine. I got 4 million followers. So I was like, oh, okay. But I'm thinking like, but by that point, I felt like the main Viners, y'all had already become like almost like pretty established. Like y'all had a little squad. Y'all had a house. Used to be a storm house, you know. So here I am. And I'm like, hey, man. So I started hopping. We did some Vines together. I did some Vines with Batch. But I felt like I was still like late to the party. I felt like I was a little late to the party, and I was like, I wish I would have known. And then by the time I started going, I got up there a little bit, but then they shut down Vine, and I was like, I got this.
It was crazy. And I remember when you started, because I was like, oh, Jay, you starting? Right. So you came down, yeah, Daystorm had the Vine house.
Right.
And I had the Vine alley, because everybody would come down and shoot down the alley of my building right there.
Okay.
And, so that's where, like...
I never made it to the alley. I only made it to the...
The Vine alley was, like, in the last leg of Vine. Like, that was, like, that third quarter into Vine when they was about to, you know what I'm saying? They was about to shut down. And Vine would have actually still been around if they had played it smart, you know? They didn't take care of the creators. So
that's what happened.
Yeah.
What you mean by that? Because I don't think people realize that. So what you mean they didn't take care of the creators?
Well, like
you know, they looked at the creators as like, you know, oh, y'all are just, you know, like the app is the app. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are just here. So, you know, we're not really going to, they didn't get into monetization and all of that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so there was no, like, they didn't really, they looked at the creators like, eh. And I, for me, I was doing Vine for fun. Like, you know, and it's like, that's the thing about online stuff. It's like, you got to look at it like, what's your lane? You know, Vine wasn't my lane. It was like, I was just doing it for fun, you know? Just like with social media now, I do it for fun, you know? And it's like, if I post, it's like, because I'm feeling to post. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing it for, you know, some likes and follow. It's like, all right, I got to, you know, do it for that. That's not, it's not my lane, you know?
Right. But
there was a lot of cats that was their lane. And they was like, yo, listen, I got to get paid on this because I'm putting in this work. I'm putting in this time. Yo, I got to get this bread. And I totally understand it because I'm like, yo, that's, you can't knock nobody's hustle like that. You know what I mean? So, but.
And Vines you know, aren't easy to shoot. Anybody, for Vines and probably TikToks, people that's doing TikToks, like, man, we would take 2 hours to shoot a 6 second Vine sometimes. You
that's
know?
What I'm saying. And TikTok took Vine to another level.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's tough shooting that stuff. And it's like, and you have these people that literally created their app and made their app to what it was. Like, if you didn't have like the King Batches and the Day Storms and, you know what I'm saying, and the, you know, Leanne V's and all these people that made Vine what it was, then it would have just been a basic app, like one of them, you know, quick little video joints where, you know, it just would have came and went like that. But it literally, Vine from 2013 to what, 20, maybe 16 or so, mm-hmm. I think when it died, maybe 2017, basically like changed so many people's lives. I mean, you know.
Millionaires. Like, people have careers off of that. Look
careers.
At that.
Yeah, exactly. Like careers, houses, cats done turned their whole life around off of that app, you know? Which is just a platform. Going back to the discussion, if somebody's always like, oh man, online stuff, it's like, look, it's just a platform to get your message out. You know what I'm saying? It's just a platform. So you can't knock social media comedians or whatever. It's a platform. That's how you gotta look at it.
Agreed. And things are different. I think, you know, when social media was first coming out, even like the older comedians, you know, that was hating on the online comedians. Yeah. And it's like everything evolves, you know. Exactly. And it's like, I'm sure if y'all had Instagram or Vine back in y'all day, y'all would have been on those platforms too, but they weren't there. So don't get mad at the people that's taking advantage of it now.
You can't get mad at it because times change.
What do you think is next? Do you think it's TikTok? Do you think it's the reels on Instagram now? Where do you think it's headed?
First of all, Instagram, man,
gangsters.
They some gangsters.
They the thug. They the biggest.
They done thugged everybody out. I remember when Vine, they didn't have video. Vine 6 seconds. They were like, oh, 6 seconds. We got 15 seconds.
We taking that.
nigga. Thank you.
Snapchat. Like,
no. Snapchat, you got them filters, taking that thing. I was like, God, no. Like,
now real. Real nothing but TikTok.
Take that. They done took from everybody. And so now, yeah, with Reels, they said, okay, we're going to take that too. We're going to, okay, cool. Like, that's what it is. So Instagram, man, a lot of times they like the Walmart of businesses where they take the mom and pop joints and like give me this, me that. I'm gonna take that. And so
Facebook owns Instagram.
That's what I'm saying. Facebook is Walmart. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Facebook is.
So I'm not sure what's next. I mean, TikTok right now is hot fire right now. Like,
are you on it?
I am not on TikTok. I need to get on there because I just saw that I actually have followers on there. I was like, oh, it's a couple.
How many? How many you have already?
It's like 2,000 something.
That's good. That's a good start.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I haven't posted anything, so I'm like, how I get followers? But I might post something.
They're waiting.
I guess they're waiting. I'm like, dang, I gotta give them something. And, Is it nigga? Is he Is he going to depose? I don't.
You stupid.
So
there you go.
There you go. So I don't know. I might pull, but I don't know what's next though. I gotta like. It's hard. It's hard because, you know, I feel like everything is becoming so mixed now. And everybody's fighting for attention.
Right.
You know, like from, you know how it is, say like podcasts right now. It's like everybody, they fighting for, hey, check out my joint.
That's how I started off my first podcast with Paige. I said, I'm officially another nigga with a podcast.
So yeah, and it's like, and the thing is that everybody is fighting for the attention of the consumer.
Right.
So I'm not sure what's gonna be next, man. It's like, especially now with like how this pandemic is turning. I feel like the pandemic is about to set a lot of these things that we think are temporary, they're gonna start being permanent.
Right. You know? What's some examples you thinking?
I think video, Zoom calls, all that stuff is about to stay.
Right.
You know, because now when you think about it, like, if you can have a meeting without having to go do the actual meeting physically.
Right. Why drive? Why sit in traffic? Especially in LA.
Why drive, sit in traffic, find parking.
Pay for parking.
Get up into the meeting.
You got to check in with the reception. Nobody don't do all that shit.
It's so many. It's a grocery list of a process just to get in the actual 30-minute meeting.
Straight
and
up.
And then you gotta leave and sit in traffic, do all that.
Hey man, I'm so happy that I got to a point in my career where I could like say when I want to do my meetings in LA, because they'd be like, can you come in at they'll say some crazy time like. 5 o'clock in Santa Monica, bitch. If you don't get out my face, like I am not five doing Santa that. Monica.
Can you can do it?
Me, you can get me between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. If you can't fit me in that
hours,
you ain't seeing me. Straight up. I'm not sitting through that traffic, bro. I'm not sitting in 2-hour traffic to come bullshit with you for 30 minutes. You know,
Justin, where you from? You like.
Bitch, Google. That's where I'm from. How about you take your ass online and look it up? Don't ask me goofy shit and don't have me sitting in no traffic about no goofy shit.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Zoom, those type of virtual call, those things are going to stay. Not all around 100%. They're all going to be meetings in person, whatever, but I feel like that's going to be a thing.
I'm done with this shit. Y'all can throw this out the window. I ain't want to touch niggas' hands anyways. But see, people used to look at me bad because when I started doing fist pounds because I realized I was getting sick a lot because we be in the comedy clubs and we always giving dap. And so I started doing the dap. And then, but people started looking at me crazy, like, oh, you can't give me. But now with COVID, not.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, that is.
You know what I'm saying? Because like.
Honestly, as a society, like America's nasty, bruh. Like I done seen, I'd be in the restroom, see a dude come out the stall, walk straight out into the restaurant, and then touching the food. And I'm like, yo, you was in the stall. You was
he tossing dough in the back, making a pizza,
all kind of fecal matter. I'm like, come on, fecal. Come on.
Not the fecal. Got that fecal dough. Fecal dough.
You know, he thinking it's cool. He over here, fecal lives matter. I'm like, what you doing?
Dingleberry toppings on your pizza. If you don't get your trash in.
I'm just like, man, like, we just, and you know, you see the big sign, like, look, employees must wash their hands or whatever, and you know, but we as a society, man, just nasty, bro. Like coughing in our hand and then just do whatever and then just dap somebody up, do it. And it's like you start to see it that here it is. Who would have thought 2020 there was going to be a basic, just a commercial about, listen, this is how you wash your hands.
Straight up.
Who would have thought that? Like in 2020, They teaching us how to wash our hands.
But you know, it's some people out there that's like, I never knew.
Then I'm sitting there thinking, like, what was y'all niggas doing before? Like, was niggas not washing their hands? Like,
they wasn't. I've been in the bathroom at the airport so many times, bro, and seen people come out the stall and leave out the bathroom, bro.
Just right out.
It's very disgusting. Hey, I had a question. You ever auditioned for SNL?
I didn't. I got asked. I got asked to audition twice. And at the time, I remember my manager, they were like, you know, they were like, SNL feels like a step back. You know, if you know, you already got films, you got TV going, you're already doing your thing. If you go to SNL, it's kind of a step back. So,
What year was this?
That was 2000, I want to say 7 or 8.
Okay. And that's when the movies was really popping.
And I had already, I had booked a show called Chocolate News.
Hey, shout out to Chocolate News, man. Hey,
shout out to Chocolate News.
Underrated show, man.
David Alan Greer, man, another legend in the game, beast. I mean, and when I made David laugh, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I mean, that's, it's like certain people, I just, it's a challenge to me. Like, I'm like, yo, I gotta make them laugh, you know? So, you know, and he personally had to hire me for the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he was in the room, and of course he was making like the final call of like who, whatever. So shout out, man, Chocolate News. Jordan,
we got a Chocolate News picture. I Lee probably somewhere taking a shit right
now. Like, Lee fell asleep. He was like, what? What's going? What?
He's like, oh, there's a podcast interview.
Lee like, oh, what? We're on the bot. Hold on, we're on the bot. Got okay.
Oh, jeez, Louise. There you go. Hey, okay. Hey, Chocolate. Other than the press escape. There we go. Trying to get that.
Chocolate News. There it is. Chocolate News.
Hey. Thank you, Lee.
And that was a great experience, man. Cause like that's where I met Jordan Peele at. That's where I met
Wow, was he auditioning? Was he on the show?
Jordan was on the show. Jordan was another reporter on the show.
That's crazy.
And so that's where we met, just and became super cool. I mean, like that, and it was a great experience, man. And Dag was call him Dag, David Alan Greer.
Right.
He was cool, man. Like David, like he just really funny, had so many characters. You know, his character work is just stupid. Like his character work is And so a lot of times like you aspire to be that with your character work. You aspire to get there as a comedian. You want to get to the point where you have these solid characters and you can play like just off top, like boom, you know, and cats just, they know it. They like, oh, that's such and such, whatever. But so at that time, I had, you know, I had that show, I had movies going or whatever, and I was up for a few other things. I just got back from shooting this movie in Australia. It was like, it was a lot of stuff going on. So they were like, look, SNL might be a step back, you know, and you're already doing your thing. You might as well just keep doing your thing. So
you actually,
I didn't audition for that. And Wildin' Out didn't audition for that as well.
When he brought it back, I auditioned and I made it to the final round. And then I didn't get hired. And then I cried in my closet for 3 weeks.
Hey,
no, I didn't cry in my closet. But it's okay. I think I booked Rush Hour like the following year or something.
Okay, good.
But
so there we go.
Hey, man. Hey, brother, God had different plans for me.
He had a different door.
But he had the different door. I opened it. I walked through.
And I got through the door.
My blessing. This is what I realized about representation, man. Most agents and managers don't know what the fuck they be talking about, because they're not creatives. They're not artistic. And if they are, then you in the wrong profession. Go be creative and be artistic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of the times they give you information that is so based off of what did somebody else do. You see, it's rare that you find a manager or agent that has a talent, that sees something in their talent and like believes in their talent vision. If it's uncharted territory.
Yeah.
you know, they always like, well, that's never been done before. That's setting a precedent. You see what I'm saying? So I'm saying all of this. I said all of that to say whoever your agent or manager was at the time, I'm not saying, I am saying, fuck them. They was wrong. I don't know who it was. I don't give a shit.
I fired them.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Because they don't know what the fuck they were talking about. I just realized that being in Hollywood, we done both been in Hollywood. You've been there longer than I have, but I've been there long enough. I've been in LA for 13 years. I've been there long enough to know it. Even to bring up Rush Hour, when I went in there to audition for it, I was one of the last people to audition. First of all, not only that, wait a minute. I'm going to give y'all a gem of a story real quick. Mm. Before I auditioned, I was connected to another show, a pilot with Ken Jeong. You know Ken Jeong, the Asian?
Yeah, of course.
Asian comedian. Hilarious, super nice dude. We had a pilot for MTV. Okay. We didn't know if the pilot was getting picked up or not, right? Okay. So I heard about everybody auditioning for Rush Hour. Mm-hmm. I was actually with Afion Crockett because we had a show down in San Diego.
Okay.
So the day he auditioned for Rush Hour, we went to his audition first, and then we drove down. I rode with him to his audition for Rush Hour. Then we drove down to San Diego because he was headlining down in San Diego.
I remember you doing shows with him, yeah.
So at the time, I had told my manager, I said, yo, I want to audition for Rush Hour. I said, I know I'm technically attached to this MTV pilot right now, but I said, even if they tell me no, I just want to go in and still audition. I don't know, Justin. I mean, is there any other person in the cast that you want to audition for? Because I don't think I'm thinking, why the fuck would I want to audition for anybody but is Lee?
Lee, what we got?
Have the picture ready if you go.
You can't
do it and not have the picture ready.
He said, let me pump fake you.
Hey. There we go. Hey.
There he is.
Look at Lee. Look at that. Okay.
And so, the fresh no beard. You had the goatee.
That's before my beard came in all the way. Come in all the way about 2 years ago. Really, okay. 2014 is when this side really connected. So, okay. She said no. She was like, is there any other role that you want to audition for? And I was like, why? I'm like, I'm trying to audition for the lead. Like, why would I audition for a guest star or something like that? Justin, they're not going to see you. You're already attached to MTV pilot. They're not going to want to see you. Fortunately for me, I did a diversity showcase for CBS back in 2011.
Oh, with Fern, right?
Fern. Let me tell you who else was in that class for that showcase. Me, Tiffany Haddish, Hasan Minhaj, London Brown, who's on Ballers, Fortune Feimster, who did a lot with Chelsea Show. All of us was in the same 2011 CBS diversity showcase. Mm. Fern, they couldn't find who they wanted, and they wanted to go with, it's common knowledge. T.I. was supposed to play that role for Rush Hour, and so they was like, we need to find somebody, you know.
To find somebody.
So Fern remembered me from the CBS showcase. She suggested my name, you see, and she's like, bring in Justin. So it's fourth quarter. 2 minutes left, bruh. When they either go find a replacement or they're not shooting the pilot at all.
At all.
So that was CBS mindset. It's like either we find a replacement or we're not shooting the pilot.
Yeah.
2 minutes on the clock. Here I come. The notes I got first before I auditioned. Don't be over the top. Don't try to be funny. Just go in there, play it regular, play it comp. I'm thinking, how the fuck you gonna tell me how to play Carter? Like, I grew up on Rush Hour.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I listen to you who's, you know, you not of the culture. You don't know how we talk. You see what I'm saying? You don't know our vernacular. You don't know we do this. You see what I'm saying?
We do.
So why would I listen to somebody that doesn't come from that background and tell me how I should be talking. So I went in there and said, fuck everybody. I'm finna do me.
Yeah.
And then as you see, I booked.
You booked it.
I booked the show.
So and you was killing, man. I was so mad that it's like it's CBS. So you couldn't even give them 100% Justin Hires though.
Straight up.
And because they was like, you know what I mean? And I remember, yeah.
I'm listening. I'm listening, my bad.
But I'm saying, I remember I was like, yo, man, Jeff, I was like, they not even letting them. They wasn't letting you stretch because it was like, we got to.
It's network TV. And first of all, and I want to say shout out to CBS because y'all still employ me.
Hey, they what?
Thank you for MacGyver. CBS, like, you know, they got one eye open. What? So CBS.
Nigga, you know we watching that.
We watching. What you saying now?
We subscribe to you now.
Shout out to CBS. Yeah. Shout out to CBS.
Shout out to CBS.
But it is with network television, which is, you know, you can't say and do everything. I used to get notes, not from CBS, but just from, like, the director or whoever. Like, would a cop actually say that? Would a cop actually do that? I'm like, have y'all seen Rush Hour? He's not a by the books cop. You know, so it's like, of course, you know, he's talking like this. He's like, it's Carter. So I said all that to say, I told that long ass story just to say that one, representation don't know what the fuck they be talking about. Because if I would have listened, you see what I'm saying? They wouldn't even known, because like I said, it was still CBS that approached us anyways. But sometimes I just feel like representation just like, no, don't do that. Don't do this. And it's like, you just got to do you at the end of the day.
You do.
And I said that because, you know, a sketch comedy show is something I still want to do one day, you know, and I know we was talking about something. And
yeah, we've been, yep.
Yeah, and it's one of them things where, you know, I feel like you have so much to offer as a comedian, with your characters, with your voices, and I want the world to be able to see that, you know what I'm saying, to see all what you can bring to the table. What do you feel like has been your funniest performance?
As far as film or TV,
acting or TV?
My funniest performance. I would go with Love That Girl.
Okay, yeah, that's Love That Girl.
Because Love That Girl was closest to the most freedom that I've had. Bentley Kyle Evans, if y'all don't know, shout out to Bentley, my dude.
I gotta get him on here.
You gotta get Bentley on here. You know, EP on Martin, co-creator on Jimmy Fox, all of that, like executive producer of like so many different shows, and so he has TV royalty within his, you know, his resume, and like this dude, man, like Bentley is hard to impress. He's just like that, you know what I mean? Came around Martin, so it's like you got to be. You gotta be on that type of, you know what I'm saying? Where that type of radar for him to really like check you. So Stacy, his sister Stacy Evans, shout out to Stacy. She saw me doing stand up during David Arnold had a stand up class.
Right.
A stand up, which I remember I took the class and people was like, why you take, man? You've been doing stand up. You don't need to take that class. I took the class. And Tony Baker was actually in that class with me.
Crazy. Tony gonna do an episode of Urban Legends.
Yeah, Tony, that's my dude. So we in that class, and great, great class, man. David is so dope. Shout out to David as well. And like, Stacy came to the showcase. She saw me. She was like, yo, this brother right here, right? So
this brother right here?
This brother right here? Yeah, she kept, there was a joke I did about, I was talking about a bear at the time. I was like, yo, like this zoo was terminating bears because of like, I forgot what it was. They were just losing money or whatever. And so I did this whole scenario where like the manager calling the bear to the office, like, yo, let me holler at you real quick. And the bear like, yo, what's up, man? And like, And look, you know, we gotta let you go. We got, you know, anything. Well, it was all of that. Like, man, come on, man. I've been growling every time people ask me to. You know what I'm saying? How you gonna do me like this? You know what I'm saying? I got bare necessities, you know, and like it was this whole thing. So the crowd dying, yo, and like, and so Stacy, that was like her favorite. She was like, oh my gosh, I told Benny about this bear joke you did. So Benny was like, bring him in. So I went into audition, and at the time, there was a Jamaican movie that was out called Rude Boy.
Okay.
And it was like my favorite Jamaican movie, right? So I didn't realize that Bentley had directed Rude Boy.
That's crazy.
So when he was like, oh yeah, you like Rude Boy? He was like, you know, and I'm like, I just found out you directed this. So I'm doing scenes from Rude Boy in the audition. I'm wilding out.
Doing you. You was doing me. You.
Bentley called, said, listen, I had everybody audition for this role. He was like, but look, if you want it, it's yours. And I'm like, word? And so got the role. And Bentley, man, he literally just said, keep the cameras rolling. Let Alfonso do his thing.
Oh, that's a dream for a comedian.
So I'm like, word? And so, you know, and I already worked.
That's when you pulled your dick out.
Let me pull my dick. So they was like, not anything. So stop it. This ain't an organic shower scene.
Okay, was it Get Rich or Die Try? You pull your dick out. You're like, wait, what's up?
Wait. Listen, I'm gonna pull it out now. It was like, man. They was like, no, stop it. No, that's
I got my tweezers and everything, man.
My banjo, man. Like, it was like, no, stop. So, and I had already worked with Tatiana. And so, and then I met Brescia on set. And then
two queens.
Man, shout out to Tatiana and Brescia. Brescia, man, I mean, she was ready to go. She had, you know, I'm Unique, the character down. And we just went. Bentley was like, yo, just let him rock. And we just rocked out. And like, there was stuff that we did, man. And if it was something that wasn't right, Bentley would come and be like, nah, that ain't it. Let's switch it up. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then you just go, hey, go
okay.
With you. Hey, okay. There we all go.
Okay, love that, girl. Shout out to Lee on his job. Look at Lee.
Lee
said, I'm on it. Fuck what y'all talking about.
I'm on it. I got posters. So, yeah, man. So I would say that was probably my, like, funniest to date, because I've been on shows where, like, they're very word perfect.
Right.
And they're very much like, we need you to be friendly black, you know?
Yo, that's the worst. Yo, I did a pilot like that, and I was just being regular black.
Yeah.
It was like, it's coming across a little too aggressive, can you smile when you call him a bitch? It's like, what? It's like, what are you talking about?
Friendly bitch. Can you do a friendly thing? You're like, You got a friendly in you.
Like, what do you mean right now? You want me to smile when I'm calling somebody a bitch?
Yeah, just think about it. Give us a sunshine. A sunshine bitch.
In a rage.
So, I was like, man, but like I said, with Bentley, man, like, he was like, yo, rock. Do your thing, rock.
And I would love to get Bentley on here. I'm gonna hit him up and see if he. First of all, man, I'm gonna wrap it up. But I just want to say, man, I appreciate you, bro, for coming on here. My goal is to grow this for something for us. You see what I'm saying? Like, I want to have a platform where we could come on, because all the late night talk shows don't always have us. You know what I'm saying? Ellen don't always have us. And when I say us, I'm not even talking about African Americans specifically. I'm just saying, like, kind of people that's talented as hell, but we haven't reached the Kevin Hart status yet.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? And exactly. So I want to build a platform where people who are working, who are talented, who have projects that they want to talk about or just get something off their chest, they can come here to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the goal, to have a platform to build this. So it's like, I don't need to go to those other places, you know, because I'm welcome here at Urban Legends, brother. And that's why I'm doing this, man. You're a king to me, brother.
Likewise, man. Come on.
Hey, I appreciate that, bro. Anything where people can find you at? Any last thing? You got any upcoming projects people should look out for?
Yeah, so there's right now two movies on the way. There's one called Broken Diamonds, which it's Ben Platt and myself. Ben Platt, he's on The Politician.
Oh, right.
He got a season two Politician now. He was, he's been in multiple film, TV, all of that. This dude, he stayed winning. This cat is winning. He got an album about to drop.
Dang.
So I play his friend who, you know, we actually work together in this spot. He finds out that his dad passes away. And so it's a dramedy.
Okay.
So that should be, I think it's supposed to be end of this year. I think that's what they've been telling me. Not sure exactly, but that's what I've heard, end of this year. And then I think in December is going to be, I did a superhero film
set
in the 70s. Yeah, this joint is set in the 70s. It's called The Hyperions. And
nice.
So, yeah, that one is with Cary Elwes, who played Princess Bride. He was Wesley in Princess Bride.
Yeah. And,
you know, blonde hair, white dude, really funny.
Is it going to move theaters?
Now with the pandemic, I guess, you know, it's going to go directly, you know, stream to, you know,
I remember back in the day, that used to be like, dang, my shit going straight to DVD. Now it's like, good, you're going straight to the consumer. More people probably go see it.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, what's the film that killed? There was a film early in the pandemic was Trolls.
Right.
Trolls did $100 million in like the first whatever week or whatever. Ooh. Like they killed. They killed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like you said, it's like going straight directly to the consumer, which I feel like is better. You know, people get to see it right directly off and they're like, cool, all right, that's what's up, you know? So, and that was a fun project, you know what I mean? Like, that was, I grew the fro out.
Nice.
Did the blow dry, had it, you know what I'm saying? So it was nice and tight. And it was fun, man, wearing an old vintage. I had an old 70s vintage superhero suit on. So it was just regular body, just, you know, chest.
You had powers. You got powers in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's wild. And you know what I'm saying? So that was a fun film, man. That was, oh my gosh. It was a lot of fun. Like, I had a lot of fun shooting that joint. It was great. But yeah, so those are the two coming out. And then we'll see, like, whatever, you know, I got some stuff in the works. Got a show on hold that I'm,
okay,
working on.
Okay.
Working on.
Hey, man, Alfonso B.
It's actually with, CBS. So it's over there.
Oh, it's with CBS. Okay.
Hello, Stevie. But you know, let me not. I don't want to, you know. I got the, They watch it.
We heard about you two. We know. Shout out to CBS, man.
What is he doing?
Hey, man, Alfonso, brother, I appreciate you, bro. I love you, man. Keep doing your thing. Keep doing your thing, man. Keep being great, bro. And I mean, hey, man, as I look at it, man, This is just the beginning, bro.
Just the beginning.
You know what I'm saying? So,
all right, man.
I'm going to let you go. I'm out of here, brother.
All right, man.
Peace. Appreciate you.
All right. Peace.